What do you think the message is here that Nike's trying to send?
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell.
Because you never respect me. You never listen to what I tell you to do. And I put rules on the refrigerator, and you never obey my rules.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take F-T-C-T.
How interesting. So you're saying this is strategic, that this is not an accident, that they've picked him and thrown their support behind him.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
There's no reason to believe that
920 the game.
This decision was anything but strategic.
Aretha! What's up, girl? We miss you here on Earth, but you live in our hearts. Turn it up.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Love Aretha. Welcome into the Mac Attack here on this Friday. Rocking along with you for the next hour. 2 to 3, you know the deal. Going guestless today, Nick Nice. I think we covered what we needed to cover early in the week. I think we went heavy on Pacquiao Thurman.
Crazy.
We're going to touch a little bit more on Pacquiao Thurman towards the end of the show. But we got a lot to get to. A lot to get to. Man, nothing be like being let in by Aretha Franklin. The GOAT? Is she? She the GOAT to you? Greatest of all time?
She definitely would be top three females.
Yeah.
Whitney, Aretha.
Adele?
No, I might have to go with one of my personal favorites, Alicia, just because she's also playing the piano.
Okay.
She's got a great voice. Maybe not the upper echelon like Mariah, but she can belt it out.
Or Adele.
Yeah, Adele's not bad. I like Adele.
I'm pretty sure when Rolling Stone ranked the 50 greatest singers of all time, Aretha was one and Adele was two.
Wow. Okay.
And think about that. Think about the lack of time
I was just about
Adele
to say.
Adele has had to procure a catalog.
She has no longevity. I guess that's where my issue would be.
I would say none. When was Rolling in the Deep? Like 10, 11?
Yeah, but when has Mariah and Alicia been out? They've been out. Mariah's been out since like the late 80s, early
90s. Yeah, for sure.
And then Alicia's been out since like late 90s, early 2000s. So.
Yep. And I love me some Alicia Keys. I'm not trying to dog on her. So there you go.
Aretha, though. Yes. That's why when you sent me the rundown for the show earlier, I was just like, what am I going to work with Eddie Murphy, Colin Kaepernick, and some other stuff. And
Dan Lebatard.
I'm like, oh, they're talking about respect. So bam.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
I was like, you know, the light bulb goes off and I start to get to work and there you go. So I was like, it's all about respect.
And I don't think we've talked about Aretha. So you didn't know that I was a huge Aretha Franklin fan.
Well, if you don't enjoy that one song specifically, that one song.
Think from the Blues Brothers, too.
Come on.
That scene, man. Yes. Yes, yes. Thank you to the Blues Brothers. I'm not sure I would be as big a fan of Aretha without the Blues Brothers, because that's all I knew her from first.
Okay.
I was a kid, a baby kid, you know, like when I thought the Palestinians were the Palace Indians. That time in my life.
I think I'm pretty sure my mother introduced me to Aretha.
Yeah. Good mom. Good taste.
Yeah, she used to jam out to a lot of good stuff.
There
so
you go.
These songs and I'm like, oh,
that's
yeah.
The benefit of having older parents raise you. I know your parents are no longer with us, but
they were of older. Yes,
yes, exactly. That's what I mean. I was raised on Motown, and
they were farting dust by the time they had me.
Right. The Dion, the Shondells, Smokey Robinson, the Four Tops. That's what I, you know, Buddy Holly, all that. That's what I was raised on. And then I found, you know, Slayer and Metallica and Tupac and Biggie and all the things that shaped me in the 90s.
Nice.
Very eclectic mix. Speaking of eclectic fellows, today would have been the 54th birthday of Stuart Scott. And that I just wanted to bring that up. Anytime I can mention that man. I talk about it all the time. I didn't listen to a lot of sports radio growing up. I really didn't. My sports radio was SportsCenter. I like the highlights. I like the visual. I like the presentation that Stuart, even going back to like Craig Kilborn. I mean, there were people on that station in Berman, everybody that just, they brought character and color and charisma to sports. And then obviously you had the visual aid of the clips that just, but what he did for sports, not ESPN. Okay. Not radio, not nothing. What he did for sports, he crossed boundaries. He really did. That's not hyperbole.
How so?
The way he spoke. He was relatable to me as a 13-year-old. He had a lingo and a vernacular and references that were
cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Exactly.
That was his number one.
It was his number one. It absolutely was.
You know what's funny is that I actually turned my pillow over one night after I had heard him say that, and I was like, oh, no, I get it. All right.
Smart.
I get it.
Especially in Vegas. That's good advice. So RIP to Stuart Scott, would have been
54
years old today, and a true legend in the sports broadcasting world. As I said, can't say I'd be doing what I'd be doing today if it weren't for him. Again, I didn't have a lot of sports radio people that I looked up to, but there, Stuart Scott was definitely a sports personality that I looked up to. Speaking of sports personalities, Tyreek Hill. Not a personality in the sense that he's a talking head or he's on TV breaking down games. He's not an analyst. Obviously, he's the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. This saga is unrelenting, man. It's just not going away, and I get it. There's still a lot to be figured out and a lot to be decided. Well, one thing we have figured out and one thing that has been decided, the NFL will not be suspending Tyreek Hill. And I don't know how I feel. I really don't. I know that's probably not great for radio. There's a lot to break down with this, and there's a lot to get to. On the surface, right? I would think that there's just enough in the audio that was released, which is clouded. It's murky. Right? There's been additional reports that have come out. And well, just about 3 weeks ago, there was the complete tape that was released that showed a different side to the conversation that Tyreek Hill and his fiance or his girlfriend at the time were having. The first release of that tape certainly seemed to paint Tyreek Hill in a more poor light. Not that he needs any help with that, because on the tape, and it is verbatim, he tells the woman, "You should be scared of me too, blank." Like right there, Nick, in theory, I would feel like that's on some level grounds for suspension.
You know, it would be if he wasn't so talented. That's the problem.
You think that's the thing with Tyreek
Hill? This is another issue where the NFL is not wanting to lose a major talent, I believe. This is, of course, my opinion. But
right, but
if he was not as talented as he is, do you think this is as where it is now?
That's what I don't know, because here's the reasoning that they're giving is that there's not enough evidence.
And I find that nonsense. I find it absolute nonsense.
Well, and what do you mean in regards to what? I mean, we haven't heard or seen anything that would, I mean, outside of the, I think I took the worst part of that audio. You should be scared of me too, blank.
Yeah.
Like that was
condemning.
I mean, to an extent, but I mean, I've said horrible stuff. I don't know if I said something that horrible. But you fight with your wife and stuff can get intense. It's just the way relationships are. If anyone tells you different, they're either lying or you're very, very, very lucky. I mean, you know, relationships are hard. So you say crazy stuff. And I'd hate to imagine every conversation that I've ever had in a heat of battle recorded. That would not be good for me or for anyone, I would imagine. So there is that part of me, right? But then there's the other part of me. Tyreek Hill has a history on some level. Right, he pleaded to this already, so it's just
That's where I feel that my argument is valid.
Yeah, and here's what I hate, and to the point to your argument is that it looks terrible for the NFL because people have already made their mind up out of this. Dak got suspended for on some level, not circumstantial. I mean, there was evidence. I don't know. It just
even when he grabbed the girl's boob out at the St. Patrick's Day parade. Are you kidding me? That to me alone was just so unbelievable. And the fact that he did not get really anything other than I think a slap on the hand, maybe, if that.
Yeah.
It just goes to say and show you, I guess, multiple times we've seen, even at the high school level, the kids who are talented get the special treatment.
It is to an extent true.
Yeah.
It was one of the reasons and he'll probably listen. I brought him up a few times on this show. My buddy Sam back in Indianapolis, he coaches high school football now, but he was a high school star when we were juniors and seniors.
And you saw the privileges he got, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And now I wasn't mad at him. I get it.
Yeah.
100%. And it wasn't so much the privileges he got. I can't really speak to that. Only he could, right? But he was a star wide receiver in a 5A school. He was recruited. He ended up going to D2, I believe. Indianapolis University, right? But he played against Jeff Samardzija, the Giants pitcher who went to Notre Dame and broke records at Notre Dame. I mean, he played at an extremely high level, especially for high school. Went to state, won state junior year. My point is it would drive me nuts. Like, we would go out to breakfast on a Saturday after the game, or we would do something, and he would get swarmed by 70-year-old men. And great, and it's just like, oh, so how's it going today? How are you looking at LaPorte next week? And, oh, you go get him, kiddo. And it's just like, dude, what? You're jocking a 16-year-old. Like, the obsession with sports in America does start, to your point, at an extremely young level. So
I would even go so far as to saying good-looking people get away with stuff
well, I wouldn't
more.
Know, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Well, I have to say, you know.
No. So, no, I mean, yeah.
But, you know, yeah. the advantages that beautiful people get, skilled people get. Sure. You know what I mean?
Sure. Life's not fair. But no, it is.
If you're ugly and unskilled, I'm sorry.
You probably know how hard life is. Call in. Tell us about it. How crappy is your life?
Hello, no, listen. Working at a board op.
Yeah, right?
Here I am.
Yeah.
Pushing buttons.
Producer. We don't say board op around here. We give you the Aretha treatment.
Yes.
You are the producer of the Mac Attack.
Yes.
Not the board op of the Mac
Attack.
So listen, there's a lot more to get into with Tariq Hill. I'm sure more stuff will come out. More people will have feelings about it. I'll tell you what. If there is one slip up, if there's a traffic ticket, if there is a possession for marijuana, anything, it's going to be a huge issue.
And am I wrong for saying that everybody in America thinks he's guilty?
Yes, because everyone's a blanket statement. I think there are people that...
Majority?
When that... Yes, I would definitely say that. The majority of people think he's guilty. The judge, jury, and executioner has already made their play on this one, right?
But smoke, there's fire?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I had thought I was leaning towards having my mind made up, and then that second, the full tape was released a couple weeks ago, and it definitely seemed like... I don't believe... I can't remember if the local Kansas City TV station released the footage first, or it was the radio station, or vice versa. But one of them came up on the back end and released the whole tape, and it did shed a more clear light on that situation, which was the first time it was released. It's hard to argue that it wasn't trying to purposely make Tariq Hill look bad.
Yeah.
Which is an easy thing to do, and everyone jumped at that, and I understand that. Like, just by what he said to his wife, you should be scared of me too, blank. Like, that's bad. So I understand if that's released, you can make up your mind. And I mean, you can say he's not a good person. He seems violent, aggressive. Yeah, you're not wrong. So I don't know. There's a lot of twists and turns with this, but I do know, again, the UFC, the NFL is being highly reactionary in the sense that I don't know if they needed to make a ruling on this. I'd like to think that there could have been more evidence found. I don't know. It's just very interesting. It's interesting, this whole period that we're living in. And with that in mind, the period that we're living in 2019. Let's hit it, dude. Time for the opening round.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Round one. Fight.
All right. So ESPN, big ESPN, not little ESPN over here in Las Vegas where Cofield hosts a show. Talking about the worldwide leader, right? Disney. They've had a bit of an issue recently with their employees, right? Speaking their minds about the current state of affairs in America. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know, right? Jemele Hill, her controversy.
She got fired? Is that what happened?
I think so.
I didn't look it up.
Yeah, I believe she was fired. Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
I don't know if she walked or if she was fired or if she was, you know, iced and then she asked for, I'm not sure. I know she's gotten a ton of work since then. I believe she is with The Atlantic now as a staff writer. The Atlantic, the great publication on the East Coast that's been in, I think, 100 years plus. And she's also working on documentaries for Showtime. I think she helped with one of the LeBron James ones that got nominated for an Emmy. Like, she's doing well, right? It's not an issue that she lost her job at ESPN. She arguably it increased her profile and gave her armor and ammo and, you know, more eyes on her to do what she wanted to do. So ever since then, Disney has kind of had an ultimatum. ESPN has kind of had an ultimatum to their talent. We're not politics. Now, I do think there is a disconnect here that's happening over the last few years of what is politics and what is just fact, right? Like, what's right and wrong? You can have politics. We can disagree on politics for decades, for, you know, centuries, depending on how long you've been alive. But this has been different, right? The things that are happening are different. These are highly charged times. And when you have marginalized groups like women or black women, in the case of Jemele Hill, and you hear some of the things coming out of this administration, we don't necessarily need to retread it. You feel a certain way about it. And I understand if you don't view it as politics. You can view it as a line in the sand. It's just right versus wrong. Like, some things can be said and some things cannot be said. You know, it's not a matter of free speech. It's just a matter of right and wrong. And like, what are we as Americans, right? So for the last, I don't know, year, ESPN has been relatively quiet on that front in terms of speaking out about things and having their analysts or their, you know, the radio hosts, whatever the case may be, speak on anything in the political climate. Even when Rapinoe, right? Even when things happen that are linked to this administration, they don't go hard on it. It's just very much they kind of report it, and then they don't give an opinion or really a take on it, which is kind of a problem because it's what you're there for. But that's beside the point. Over the last 48 hours, there was that rally at the Trump rally where they started the send them home chant in reference to the four congresswomen that Trump said if they don't like it, they can go home. Send them back to their country, essentially. One of them, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is from Queens. So that's, you know, stupid. Go back to Queens. Okay, I'll go back to Queens. But it was, by most definitions, by anyone's logical, normal definitions, it was racist, right? And people are feeling the need to comment on it because a lot of people at ESPN and other places are people of color or they're minorities, right? Nick Wright of Fox Sports One sent out a tweet and said, listen, I don't talk politics, but this isn't politics, right? This is abhorrent. This is against everything that we stand for as Americans. Yesterday on his show, and I actually mentioned this to you when I came in yesterday because I was listening on the drive on ESPN and I was coming in, Dan Le Batard, who is... I don't think I need to explain to the people who Dan Le Batard is. He's one of the power movers at ESPN Radio. I would say it's him and Stephen A. Smith. And in terms of, you know, great radio or popular radio, Dan Le Batard sits kind of at the top of that food chain. And he is an immigrant, son of an immigrant. His father, I believe, is from Cuba. Poppy. You know, Poppy, right? So obviously Dan feels a certain way about it. And I think post-Jemele Hill, things have been building up for Dan. And for people like Dan, because they're watching things happen to their country that they love and to their people and to, you know, the landscape kind of deteriorate and for no real reason. And it's hard to remain silent. And I understand on some point, we don't talk a lot of politics on this show. I don't really think there's a point. We only have an hour. Even when political and sports stories get crossed, it's not something I really care to touch on too often. I mean, we got to follow Kaepernick. You know, certain things happen like that. We're going to touch on that here in a second. Coming back on the other end of this. But I want you to hear what Dan Le Batard said yesterday. And I want to get your thoughts, Nick. And I want to think about what comes next. Because what Dan Le Batard said yesterday about Trump and about the things that are happening in this country and the current landscape of sports and politics, I wouldn't say it's untrue. But you could argue it was worse than Jemele Hill in the sense that Jemele Hill just sent a tweet. So I want you to listen to this. We're going to stop and play it maybe. It's about 2 minutes in length. I don't want to take up too much time, but I do want you to hear what Dan Le Batard had to say. And really the care and the passion and the lack of anger, but just the very matter-of-fact way it was delivered. This was Dan Le Batard yesterday talking about the current climate of sports, politics, in America in 2019.
So what happened last night, this felt un-American, what happened last night, okay? Basically, a chant, send her back, is not, you know, it's not the America that my parents came to get for us, for exiles, for brown people. Like, there's a racial division in this country that's being instigated by the president. And we here at ESPN haven't had the stomach for that fight because Jemele did some things on Twitter and you saw what happened after that. And then here, all of a sudden, nobody talks politics on anything unless we can use one of these sports figures as a meat shield in the most cowardly possible way to discuss these subjects. But what happened?
Now there, what he's talking about when he says a meat shield, he's talking about the only time he can talk politics is when something comes up political, right? Which actually, when you think about it, if you're looking at it from that, like, think about it this way. If you're Dan Le Batard and you're wanting to talk about this stuff because it's something that you care about and you're very passionate about, the only time you can talk about it is when sports and politics intersect. I guess luckily for Le Batard, that's happening seemingly on a week-to-week basis. Whether it be, you know, the Baylor women going to the White House, or the Clemson team and getting fed Big Macs. You know, him calling kneeling players sons of bitches. I mean, there's a lineage here of sports and politics intersecting. So what Lebatard is essentially saying, we can only talk about this when the president does. And he feels a certain way. Now, you heard it in there. It's wholly un-American. It's against everything that we stand for. And the thing that I thought was interesting is he said ESPN can't stomach this type of conversation, which I thought was powerful. Right? Because is that not a line in the sand? When you are the face of ESPN and you say something like that, when you tell essentially your employer, they don't have the stomach for this. Essentially, they're burying their head in the sands.
He was definitely tapping the bosses.
A little bit.
Turning the knife maybe a little bit.
A little bit. Or he was just, he reached his breaking point. Right? I don't even think it's a pride thing. I think it's a, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think Dan understands that he is one of the more powerful voices in sports radio.
He's got the platform to do it.
And I also feel like he knows that he won't be fired, which isn't something any of us can say. Many of us can say, I should say, right? Like if an ultimatum's put down, if someone here comes to me and is like, hey, you can't say this or you can't do that, I can't be Dan Lebatard, right? I can't just go on and be like, well, how you like this, right? But he can, because as we found out, we're going to listen more to this audio. ESPN announced today that they are not taking him off the air and they will not be suspending Dan Lebatard. He continues. Listen to more of Dan yesterday talking about President Trump.
One of these sports figures as a meat shield in the most cowardly possible way to discuss these subjects. But what happened last night at this rally is deeply offensive, done by the president of our country. And this tweet from Nick Wright, if you're listening to people chant, send her back, about a Somali refugee who serves in Congress. Nick Wright writes, I don't talk politics on here, but this isn't political. This is obvious. This is abhorrent, obviously racist, dangerous rhetoric, and not calling it out makes you complicit. The send her back chant and the go back to where you came from are so antithetical to what we should be. It is so right what he is saying there. It is so wrong what the president of our country is doing, trying to go down, getting reelected by dividing the masses at a time when the old white man, the old rich white man, feels oppressed, being attacked by minorities, black people, brown people, women. That's who we're going after now. Black people, brown people, women. And that's the, like, let's do it as the platform. That's what you're seeing. And the only way we can discuss it around here, because this isn't about politics, it's about race. What you're seeing happening around here is about race, and it's been turned into politics. And we only talk about it around here when Steve Kerr or Popovich says something. We don't talk about what is happening unless there's some sort of weak, cowardly sports angle that we can run it through, when sports has always been a place where this stuff changes. Man, Muhammad Ali was fighting for this stuff in the 60s. Bill Russell and Jim Brown are really old. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is old. These people who were fighting, the most powerful among us in sports, who were fighting in the civil rights era for things, atrocities happening to black people that we're still paying for now in a country where this is our greatest sin, what has happened to minorities in this country. They're old and dying. Jim Brown walks with a cane, man. He walks with a cane. He's going to go to the grave without having seen change. He's going to go to the...
That's great stuff from the standpoint that he's clearly passionate. Right. And that's what we want in our personalities and our analysts. You want them to be themselves. You want them to know who they are. I would hope that even if you disagree with them, that's a tough one, because I don't know how you can disagree with it. It is wholly un-American to tell people who are citizens of this country to go back home, go back where you came from. I mean, that's offensive to me. My dad immigrated from London in the 50s. You know what I mean? Your dad was in internment camps as a Japanese American.
I'm actually half a first generation on my mom's side from Canada.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's true. And actually, my dad was in Canada before he came down here. He stopped there before he came in here.
I'm going to pause 1 second. Just, I know this is a minutia of a detail here, but it still bothers me that he didn't involve the Asians in that. Levitard. He talks about the Browns and black people, but why and the women, but where the hell are the Asians at?
I'd like to think when he said brown, he was counting people
of
color.
Brown.
I think he mentioned people of color.
Okay, fine. I just
minorities, people of color. Yes.
We don't get respect from anybody. I gotta, you know what I'm saying? I'm sick and tired
of
it.
I like this. I like this Asian
We're seriously at the bottom of the whole pecking order, man.
There's no doubt about it.
We get crap on from everybody.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't even count as a minority in America. Well, like, I don't
seriously,
know any Asian people.
How many times have you ever heard of like us standing up and doing anything? Like, no, nothing, never. We don't. The only time you hear anything is North Korea, like that dude. That's it.
Yes, that's Trump's buddy. they're boys.
Go.
First president to ever step foot across into North Korea.
Yeah. Well, look how far we've come from a country. We've gone from presidents that allowed and you know, obviously a whole just government that welcomed immigrants. That's what it was about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's how we all got here. Listen,
exactly.
If you're not a Native American, you're either a slave, a refugee, or an immigrant.
Yep.
Those are facts, bro. That cannot be denied.
You know what? Let me just rewind my self-pity here up just a little bit, because you brought it up. The Native Americans are the true nationality, ethnicity, whatever it may be, the true people that have been crapped on the most.
No question.
Besides Asians.
Land stolen and pushed off into reservations where they're forgotten.
Exactly.
About, 100%.
And that is really a problem, because they have really no voice whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of problems, right? No question. There's a lot of marginalized groups, and I think that's what we're getting at. But when a rich white dude from New York says, go back where you came from, when you're an immigrant, when your grandfather immigrated from Germany and my dad immigrated from England and your dad immigrated from...
No, my grandparents were
from Japan. Grandparents immigrated from Japan. Your mother immigrated from Canada. I mean, this is insane, right? So... I understand where Dan Lebatard's coming from. I'm just to swing it back around into kind of the point that he ends saying essentially what Nick Wright said in the tweet. We don't need to hear from it. He essentially said, if you're not speaking up right now and you're burying your head in your sand, you are complicit. And I understand the importance that he views himself. And I don't think it's an ego thing. I just, like, listen, it's a numbers thing. This many million people listen to me. I have this influence. They're never going to fire me because I'm a huge moneymaker and I'm Dan Lebatard. So I'm going to take a stand right now. I'm not going to swing back around on it. I'm going to say it once. I'm going to be effective. I'm going to do it in a, concise manner.
Classy.
Classy, mostly. I mean, I can't say I would have the same tact and patience, right? If I went down that road and started getting heated about that particular subject, I'm trying to right now, but it speaks to what is going on right now. And I promise you, what is going on right now is not normal. It's not. It's not. It's just not. We've never had this before, not in modern times.
It baffles me that there's stories in the news about manhole covers now being, like it's offensive because the word man is in it. You know what I mean?
What?
But yet we still have the Washington Redskins and the Cleveland Indians.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about with the manhole covers. I've heard nothing like that. That sounds like some that sounds like some right wing.
It's in California.
It sounds like some 4chan forum nonsense.
What I'm saying is
a lot of forum subreddits, they find stuff like that and then they create social campaigns to kind of make it look more ridiculous than it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, they hammer talking points to make it bigger than it seems. And then sometimes we don't need that problem. Sometimes it's actually legit, where people overrun their headlights and it's ridiculous. Look no further than the owner term in the NBA. I think that's a perfect example. When you talk about PC or you talk about, getting a little too sensitive, I think that's a great example, because I think that's one of those cases where everyone looks around and is like, no. Like, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. That was overkill, right? So I do get what you're saying. But I don't, and the manhole thing, I know nothing about that. As far as the Redskins go, listen, they got their trademark pulled. That's Dan Snyder's deal. Dan Snyder wants to be a little 6-year-old boy who grew up with that team. I don't know what to tell you. But at least other, like Chief Wahoo of the Indians, he's going the way of the dodo. You won't see him anymore. And even like, my Blackhawks, there is a saving grace there that the crest and the shield and the logo of the Blackhawks is Chief Blackhawk. And they do celebrate the tribe, and they do try to
educate,
right? They do. They'll
that's good.
So, and even then, there's been calls for that to be looked into. And again, it's a discussion, and that's my point. Silence does no one good. Now, I understand if you're ESPN and you have a feeling about that, and you're worried about your subscriptions. I You're a company and you can say whatever you want. But I don't think we get better without conversation. I don't think we get on the other side of this without hearing people. Now, I don't know what you can hear from one side that's telling people to go home and where you came from. As I said, if you aren't a Native American, you're one of three things: refugee, immigrant, or slave. That's how you got to America. Those are facts. So I don't know how you can take another side here, because it's just, it's hateful, it's ridiculous, it's, you know, it's unheard of for a president to do something like this.
Yeah, it's like I was saying earlier, it's like, what times are we in? It's like, this president right now almost sounds like he would have been the president back when my father was put in the camps. You know what I mean? Like, that's the president who would have been chanting, go home, go home.
But not even.
Well, it just...
But that speaks volumes to that. Even when we had internment camps for Japanese, it wasn't this hateful. At least not like that. Now, the civil rights, black folks in America, 1945, yeah, they would probably disagree. Like, oh, it's not so hateful, huh? Yeah. Let me tell you a story. It's interesting times. It's interesting times, and I think it speaks volumes because you saw what, you know, people felt a certain way about this Lebatard, not want to say rant, but piece of audio, right? So I find it interesting that they did nothing. That's what I find interesting about, that Dan Lebatard is essentially untouchable, but Jemele Hill wasn't. Or is it just that things have gotten so bad that ESPN was like, yeah, we probably agree with you on this one, because I don't know how you can't. It's just.
I think it's your first point. It's all about money.
Yeah.
It's all it ever is.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you. All right. Speaking about money, when we come back here on the Mac Attack, I'm going to put a little pause on the politics, because Eddie Murphy, as we talk about snowflakes and PC police, he is a man whose comedy has not aged particularly well. Used to like to say the F word, not the F word that, you know, you're thinking of, the other F word, right? A little homophobic, had certain opinions on certain things that, you know, 30, 40 years later, maybe don't hold up as much as they used to. Now, for me, I love Eddie Murphy, so I'm excited at this news. Eddie Murphy is making a return to stand-up comedy, if reports are to believe, and he is getting a truckload of money from Netflix for it. When we come back, we're going to kind of dissect. Can Eddie Murphy still be funny in 2019? I don't know. What do you think, Nick? We'll talk to you next.
The Mac Attack returns. You're listening to The Mac Attack.
All right. When he stepped on the scene in the early 80s, Eddie Murphy took comedy by storm. I believe he was 19, 20 when he debuted on SNL. I could be wrong. He was a very, very, very young man.
He was on fire.
Yeah, he saved SNL from the, you know, Belushi, Chevy Chase years.
The transition,
right? When it was such a behemoth, and, well, not that it's not now. I think it just got nominated for 16 Emmys. I'm a huge SNL fan. I've watched every episode since, I don't know, 1991. I don't know. Stayed at home on Saturday nights in high school a lot of the time to watch. Like, love SNL. Still do. Remember, and another thing, people always like to jock the past, right? People always like to think their generation was better. That's one of the very things I'm thankful for, is growing old and never being that stupid. Because it's not true. I remember in 2006 when it was Jason Sudeikis, Kristen Wiig. Now there are others. But I just remember talking about how it was one of the best casts ever. And people, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, do you watch?
I remember when I was your age and I used to think that way. Now I'm older and I'm much better.
You're 2 years older than me. I was like, what? Oh, I get it.
Thank you. Yeah, I saw the joke.
Well, you know, Shaq did say I'm sensitive. Our pal Shaquille.
Why you talk to me like that, Nick?
What do you mean?
If anything, In Living Color was the best.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That was great. And there is nothing like that anymore. So, yeah, there was. You can say that was a great time for it. But when I'm talking like, you know, music, or in the case of SNL, people liked, oh, it wasn't. And they said the same thing with Sandler and Farley. Oh, it's not the 70s. It's not the 80s. And then people are jocking it 30 years later saying it was one of the best casts. It's stupid.
Yep.
It's stupid. It's because people have no real eye for talent. They don't really understand what's funny. They just want to go along with the masses. And I'm telling you right now, SNL's funny.
But back in the day, you couldn't turn on anything without Eddie Murphy being there. The radio, the movie, the TV.
Everything. And he was one of the first truly mainstream black action heroes with Beverly Hills Cop. One and two, those movies were massive. They were huge. And then you look at the other things he did. I mean, obviously, his specials, as you mentioned, Raw and Delirious, the movies that he was in. I mean, Bowfinger. I love Bowfinger. I mean, that was much later in his career. That was actually coming close to when the decline started happening. But he's just got so many great movies. His comedy was outstanding. I know there's the case that it doesn't hold up. That's fine. But we'll see how it holds up in 2020, because it looks like Eddie Murphy is making a return to stand-up comedy. And I am, for one, over the moon. I've wanted this for decades. I think, without sounding too entitled or ridiculous, I think he owes it to us. Right? I say the same thing about Led Zeppelin. I'm furious that Led Zeppelin isn't touring. And I understand John Bonham's the greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest drummer of all time. So it's not Led Zeppelin. And I understand that. That true respect to your bandmates and to the music that you made, right? They did that Royal Albert Hall show a few years ago, 10 years ago or whatever, and they used Jason Bonham, John Bonham's kid. It was like they hadn't played in 40 years, 30 years together. And then they picked up right where they left off. It was incredible. It's incredible. If you haven't seen it, if you're a Led Zeppelin fan, I don't know, you had to have seen it. But maybe if you aren't, just go watch old people destroy a stage. It's uncanny that they spent that much time away from each other and can go back on stage and pick up right where they left off. Now, I understand Jimmy Page had done other things. John Paul Jones had done other things. Robert Plant had won Grammys. So it's not like they weren't making music. But to play in it together and to pick up like that, it was incredible. Artists are like that. I don't for one second believe that Eddie Murphy is not funny. He's a funny dude. That's in his blood. I also think, though, he's cut from the cloth, or I should say, Chappelle is cut from the cloth of him, cut from the cloth of Dave Chappelle and other artistic minds. They get in their own head. There's a lot of weight on the words that they put out there, right? They understand how important and how powerful the art of stand-up comedy can be. And maybe they get nervous about it. Maybe they don't think they can do it anymore. Eddie Murphy goes and does Beverly Hills Cop, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. He goes and does The Nutty Professor. He does all these movies, the Pluto Nash, I don't know. He made a bunch of movies that sucked that lost a lot of money. So I understand that if you're sitting there in 2004 or whatever, can I still be funny? I'm bombing at the box office. People don't love me. I'm not Eddie Murphy anymore. So what'd he say? I'm going to go spend time with my kids. And maybe there's a lot of truth to that. I'm not sure. I think he was nominated for an Oscar with Dreamgirls. He killed it. Clearly a talented individual. But I hear a lot of people, now the deal with Netflix, reportedly around $70 million. But I want to play something for you. Because this is something I watched a couple years ago and got very excited by. People are saying that Eddie Murphy hasn't been around. That he hasn't done stand-up in 40 years. That's not true. 2 years ago, Eddie Murphy was honored with a Mark Twain Award. A lot of other stand-up comedians have won it. George Carlin won it posthumously. Bill Cosby, who Eddie has a history with, also won it. It's a prestigious award. But when he took the stage 2 years ago, he used that time, and we have some clips here that I want you to hear, because I want you to be excited about the return of Eddie Murphy. Because I'm telling you right now, this dude is going to crush it. And we talk about 2019 and the confusion. We need some old school perspective here. That's what I loved about Dave Chappelle coming back.
Well, it's just fitting in lines with everything else. We're bringing everything back from those days. It only fits that Eddie Murphy is back.
We're doing a reboot of Eddie Murphy. I like that. So we got this clip. So I want you to listen to this. This is from 2 years ago at the Mark Twain Awards. And this is Eddie receiving the Mark Twain Award. We have a few different clips, but we're going to take you through this. And I want you to hear not only the progression of how funny he gets in this, but how much the crowd still loves him and how much he still loves the crowd. This is Eddie Murphy. Right where he belongs, in front of a microphone and a live audience.
Hasn't been lost on me that, you know, usually when people have evenings like this, a person is really, really old when they get these awards. They'll let you wait. Really, like, one of the greatest, funniest people of all time was George Carlin, and he received this award posthumously. So. And he's funnier than all of us. So to be standing here alive and looking like myself still, they'll let you get really old and get it, you know.
Now, what I like about that, if you listen to that, you can sort of read between the lines and you can hear the crowd warming up to him. Nothing there was particularly funny. They were just like, oh my God, that's Eddie Murphy kind of making jokes. They want to laugh. People want to laugh. They want Eddie Murphy to make them feel like it's 1982 again. So that was a nice intro. He keeps going, and it gets a lot better. He starts feeling his groove. He starts reading the crowd, as a good stand-up comedian does, and he starts getting into his, well, what I think we can expect on some level in the future, the charisma, the confidence. Eddie Murphy continued.
And there was also some confusion about whether or not it was an award or a prize. And I, you know, and actually, it's an award. Even though they call it a prize, it's an award. Because usually when there's a prize, there's money involved. But I thought I was going to get some paper. I was like, yo, Mark Twain Award at Kennedy Center, that sounded like paper. Then they told me yesterday that they raised $2.3 million. I was like, yo, I'm in there. Then I came down and they told me that, oh, there is no, it's a prize, but it's, there is no money. And I was like, oh. So I think to clear up the confusion for future recipients, maybe you don't want to call it the Mark Twain Prize. Maybe you might want, if you don't want to call it the award, maybe you could call it the Mark Twain Surprise.
There's a part at the end of that he hits, and he goes, the surprise being that you don't get any money. Now, tell me that's not good, Nick. Tell me that didn't make you laugh.
No, I just did at the very end.
That is 30 years.
Did I cut it off too soon, or did I not get it all?
Yeah, it's right there at the end. It's fine. I delivered Eddie's punchline.
Oh, yeah, no, I guess. I got the time marks that you wanted.
Well, there you go. So, yeah. You can see him building towards it, right? You can see him. Now, this is only about 5 minutes. We don't have all the 5 minutes, but he ends strong because he's Eddie Murphy and he knows how to read a crowd. He's warming them up. They're warming up to him. They're sitting there looking at a man that, if you are a stand-up comedy fan, he is, I mean, he's on my Mount Rushmore, even for the short time that he was as dominant as he was. The lasting mark that he made on me sits here 35 years later. Like, Eddie Murphy is a huge part of my childhood, so I'm very excited at his return, and you will be too. This is the last quip we got, and he really lays into it here. And he goes back to an old enemy, an old foe, if you will, in this final clip. This is Eddie Murphy 2 years ago at the Mark Twain Awards at the Kennedy Center.
And the surprise, of course, being you ain't getting no money.
There it is.
But that still doesn't diminish how wonderful this is. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be included with some of my heroes, Richard Pryor and George Carlin and Carl Reiner and Lily Tomlin. Who else got this? Bill has one of these. Did y'all make Bill give his back? Because I know there was a big outcry from people. They was trying to get Bill to give his trophies back. You know you f***ed up when they want you to give your trophies back. Give his trophy back too? He should do one show where he just come out and just talk crazy now. I would like to talk to some of the people who feel that I should give back my trophies. Just because you may have heard recently that I allegedly put the pill into people's chocolate. I wish somebody would come up to my house talking about give up the trophy because you put the pill in the people's chocolate. You get no. Because I'm not giving back.
There you go. I just want to put this in context. That is a man who's not done that in 30 years. He is going to come back and he is going to be ready. Is he going to pick up the torch that he passed on to Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle? Probably not. I just saw Rock last year here in Vegas, and it might have been the best set I've ever seen. It was incredible. He ripped the local casino that he was staying at. He just ripped everything else going on in society. Remember, he said something about furniture and lamps and everything in his house are all white, so he can teach his kids how tough life is, carrying other white people's problems. It was incredible. It was next level Chris Rock. And it was next level Chris Rock because he had people like Eddie Murphy laying the groundwork for what would come. right? So Eddie Murphy, $70 million. New Netflix deal on the way. I just heard a lot of people like, is he going to be able to do it? How is it going to translate? Eddie Murphy is a genius. He knows the world around him. I think he has stayed away from stand-up comedy because he knows how important it is and how much work it takes to be good at it. I think now, for the first time in decades, he's ready to put in that work, and I am excited. Are you excited? Are you going to go watch? Are you going to take in the special?
Yeah, I'll watch. I'm more excited and intrigued about Coming to America 2. That's a bigger mark for me.
I wonder if it's. I wonder if they're coincided with each other. I wonder if this is kind of a push to regain his legacy.
It only makes sense.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Eddie Murphy. We're rooting for you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back here on The Mac Attack, Greg Hardy's fighting this weekend for the UFC again. We'll get our thoughts. Yeah. Yeah, it's a regular scheduled programming of Bananarama there for you. Cruel Summer. Shout out Karate Kid. Hope you're staying cool out there. It's not too bad today.
The in the search engine of YouTube, it says Cobra Kai. Cruel Summer, Cobra Kai is the second one.
Yeah. Now, that's the remake. They did like a slower techno, like Doom. It's pretty cool. It's different. Never going to be able to replace the original, though. Never going to be able to replace the original.
Cobra Kai, here, yeah, the remix.
Yeah, much slower. You can barely tell that it's that. You know what I mean? You can barely tell.
I don't, what the hell is that? That's
yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, see, I told you. I tried to tell you. It was like a techno EDM.
Terrible.
He didn't like it.
Terrible.
Nick does not approve.
No.
So I should mention, we're talking a little politics in here. You know, talking Dan Le Batard. I get it. Meat shields and whatnot, right? You were able to talk about it, Dan. So we brought it to the air. Thanks, Dan. Should mention Colin Kaepernick, the guy that has, at least as far as sports go, one of the lightning rods of controversy over the last few years. Remember that Kaepernick ad that Nike released a couple months ago? It was inspiring.
Yeah.
Got nominated for an Emmy. So there you go. Congrats to Colin Kaepernick and Nike. And congrats on their $6 billion added to their bottom line. Yeah, that's how much the stock increased.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, over the last couple months. $6 billion. So to all those people that were boycotting and burning Nike stuff and saying they're never going to buy Nike again, didn't matter. Did not matter. In fact, if anything, just made Nike a whole lot richer. Those kids in the sweatshops are going to be working overtime. Allegedly?
Allegedly, I guess.
I don't know.
The company I used to work for, their stock is at 13 cents.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Now you know I'm back in radio.
Well, I mean, if it started at 1 cent.
I got 50,000 stock options at 24 cents. I know.
You'll be all right.
I was looking at retirement. I was like, dude, if this even gets like $5, I'm cool. It's at 13 cents.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm buying a mobile home. I'm going to be traveling the country.
Catch me
in Yosemite.
I had life figured out.
All right. So this Saturday.
What's going on Saturday?
UFC on ESPN Plus, Nick. Headline fight between Leon Edwards and Rafael Dos Anjos. Good fight. RDA is former champion. Leon Edwards is like on an 8 or 9 fight win streak. But that is not what people are talking about, or at least it's not what I'm going to be talking about here for the last couple minutes. Also on the card, Greg Hardy. Y'all remember Greg Hardy, former Dallas Cowboy, kicked out of the league for beating the ever-loving hell out of his girlfriend, throwing her on top of a pile of automatic weapons. And then when he came back to the league and was facing Tom Brady, they were like, what kind of impression do you want to make? And he's like, I want to come out guns blazing. Psycho.
I just like, I like the pun, kicked out of the league.
Yeah, it was. McMahon's a psychopath.
Don't.
Not allegedly. He's never shown contriteness. He's never apologized. He is a dangerous guy. Dangerous guy.
That's kind of like, no offense to UFC fighters out there and people who like to fight, but no, I mean, kind you kind of have to be
yeah,
a little.
That's definitely your thing.
Got to be a little off kilter there.
That's why I think he'll actually do pretty good in the UFC. And it's also why I don't think he should not have the right to earn a living. He should. In the NFL, probably not. That's a more of a supply and demand type thing. They didn't want you. You caused too many risks. It doesn't mean you can't go work at Starbucks or, in this case, work in the UFC. If the UFC wants to hire you, okay. And he went through it. He's won a few fights now. He's 4-1. He's taking on Juan Adams. Now, I talked to Juan Adams on Wednesday night on my MMA Tonight show on SiriusXM. Juan Adams told me that Greg's ex-girlfriend is texting him and FaceTiming him and showing him like photos of like how he says he's with his kid and he's not, essentially calling him a deadbeat dad.
Wow.
Like, she is weaponizing this and still trying to make life difficult for Greg Hardy, which, hey, I get 100% if what happened is to be believed, which it was, essentially. I mean, he was convicted, but then she didn't show up for, the sentencing, and then it got thrown out. But,
dude, that's juicy info. I love it.
Oh, it is.
You got some good dirt, man.
Yeah, I mean, we should have probably pulled the audio and played it.
Next week.
Yeah, if Juan Adams goes out and knocks out Greg Hardy on Saturday, we will definitely play that.
Baby's mama?
Exactly. Baby's mama. On Monday. And again, Pacquiao Thurman this Saturday. I'm telling you right now, wait for that Pacquiao money to come in. Go hard on Thurman. You'll thank me later.